Every day, there seems to be a new report of some retailer being a potential victim of a data breach. Suddenly, tens of thousands of consumers' credit card and other personal information is put in jeopardy. The retailers and their customers are at risk of having money stolen. And even if that does not happen, the retailer faces a major potential blow to its customers' confidence and its corporate reputation. Not that anyone is standing by and letting it happen. Security measures and standards are constantly being implemented and upgraded to keep the data of retailers and their customers as safe as possible. The most well-known and overarching standard is perhaps the Payment Card Industry Security Standard, or PCI. What does the PCI standard require? What challenges do retailers face as they strive to be in compliance? What penalties do they risk if they're not? And most importantly, what steps do you need to take to achieve compliance and avoid costly financial losses, penalties, or a bruised reputation? To answer those questions and more, we now welcome in one of the world's leading experts in this area, Gartner analyst Aviva Leighton. A vice president for information security and risk management research, Aviva joins us from her base of operations near Washington, D.C. Aviva, thanks for being here. And let's start with the why. Why do we need PCI?
We need PCI, the Payment Card Industry Data Security Standard, because the criminals are taking full advantage of vulnerabilities in the payment card systems. And the retailers, the companies that accept credit cards and debit cards, happen to be the low-hanging fruit. They find their way into retailer systems either through wireless networks, through malware that's placed inside networks. There's no shortage of different types of attacks that the criminals are using. And we've seen them succeed time and time again. So the payment card industry standard imposes some basic security rules that make it much harder for the crooks to steal data if those rules are being followed. And in fact, if you're compliant and you maintain continuous compliance, then the criminals should theoretically never be able to get in.
How much has this affected consumers?
Well, in fact, the criminals are definitely succeeding. We've done surveys this year and last year, and in fact for many years, and we're finding that credit card and debit card data breaches and fraud are escalating significantly. In fact, this year we're seeing a big spike in debit card fraud. And the biggest reason for this debit card fraud are the breaches at third parties, including retailers. When asked, consumers are telling us the reason that their credit or debit card was stolen was because of a data breach, which they find out by calling their bank, and the bank eventually will tell them why their credit or debit card was stolen. So the data from consumers, the data from the card issuers, even the data from the retailers are all pointing to the fact that these data breaches are succeeding. The payment card industry standard imposes security requirements that, when followed, will minimize, if not eliminate, the chances for criminals to succeed at this. And it's very important that we close the holes in the payment card system.
Aviva, what does a data breach cost a company versus, say, protecting that data up front?
It's kind of a no-brainer that it costs a lot less to protect your data than it does to suffer a data breach. We did a straw man markup of what would it cost a typical company with 100,000 customer accounts to protect their data. So we looked at three factors: the cost of intrusion prevention, the cost of data encryption, and the cost of security audits. And when you add it all up, it added to about $16 per customer account in the first year. So to protect your data by using the basics, it would only cost you $16 per account in the first year, and of course the maintenance costs in the years thereafter would go down. Now compare that to the cost of a data breach of 100,000 accounts. We added that up, and it came to something like $90 per compromised account. And in fact, that $90 went as high as $312 when there were lots of lawsuits and lots of fees from different credit card and bank companies. What does the $90 per exposed account consist of? It just consists of the basics: doing some investigation, communicating to your customers, cleaning up the system, recovering, you know, dealing with the fines, the lawsuits, the increased audits. So what would you rather do in the end? suffer an audit for 20 years from the Federal Trade Commission, have to go through lawsuits, class action suits, have the banks breathing down your neck, suffer some bad publicity, spend $90 to $312 per exposed account in the first year? Or would you rather spend $16 per account just protecting your data? If you have to make a financial argument, it's clear that the cost of data protection is much lower than the cost of responding to a data breach.
How much does PCI compliance cost?
We get asked that question all the time by retailers. They want to know going into this how much it's going to cost them. Of course, that will vary widely by the type of organization, your legacy architecture, but we did come up with some averages. We split the expenditures into two categories. The cost of an assessment. Again, you don't have to have an assessment done by a qualified security assessor, but most companies in level one and level two choose to do that. About 80% of the retailers that we surveyed brought in an assessor, and they spent about $240,000 on that assessor if they were a level one, and the level two spent about $135,000 on the assessment. So that's just the cost of the assessment. Once the assessment's done, then you've got to do the remediation. And again, there's no hard and fast actual numbers that you will be held to in terms of expenditures. It will vary tremendously depending on the type of configuration that you have. But when we looked at the averages across 50 companies that we surveyed, the average spent for level one was just under $3 million, and the average spent for level two was just over $1 million. Level three spent as little as $155,000 on average. And I can't stress enough how these figures can vary depending on your architecture. I just talked to a couple of retailers in the last week that had spent dozens of millions of dollars on PCI compliance, yet they weren't sure that all the work they had done would keep them compliant for the next couple of years going forward. So the compliance process is expensive, and that's why we recommend that you use the experts. You outsource whatever you can when possible, and we'll talk about that in the next few minutes. But it's certainly a lot less expensive than a data breach.
What are the top challenges we face in PCI compliance?
PCI compliance is basically a security 101 manual. Everything from A to Z is required under PCI compliance. But there are some requirements that stand out as much more challenging than the others. And when we rank these, the top one is always encrypting data at rest. Especially for companies that have IBM, mainframe, old legacy systems, the tools are just not as available as they are, for example, under more modern systems and more modern architectures. So encrypting data at rest has been and will continue to be the number one technical challenge. The second technical challenge when we asked retailers to rank what they saw was network segmentation. And the reason network segmentation is so important is if you don't segment off the card data, then your entire network is in scope. So think of a large grocery chain, for example, with hundreds of stores, thousands of cash registers, data is being transmitted at all these different points. It can be stored at many locations. If they don't confine the data to one central spot, then the entire network becomes subject to all 250 PCI requirements, 250 plus PCI requirements. So network segmentation is a very big technical challenge, and unfortunately, there's no hard and fast definition of how to segment your network. We've come up with some proposals, and some of the assessors have too, but it's basically common sense. You don't want your data scattered throughout your network. You want to confine it using good security policies to as small a section as you can, and then that's the piece of your network that is subject to PCI compliance that's in scope. After those two challenges, we also find that auditing system and data access is a big hurdle for most merchants because they are required to audit all the access to any credit or debit card record, and that requires good auditing systems. There's performance implications. There's scalability implications, but there are tools available to help merchants with that. Wireless networking security is also a big challenge, especially for companies with hundreds or thousands of retail locations that have wireless networks. It becomes very difficult to audit the security on those networks. And encrypting data in motion. That's not a requirement within the PCI standard if it's in a closed network. It is a requirement on a public network. So that also becomes a challenge. So in sum, when you look at 250-some PCI requirements, the top three that have stood out is encrypting data at rest, network segmentation, and encrypting data in motion.
What is the impact of merchant fines on PCI compliance?
Unfortunately, when we look at PCI compliance, the stick approach is much more effective in achieving compliance than is the carrot approach. Retailers call us quite frequently and ask us, are we going to get in trouble if we don't comply? And what do the fines look like? And what we have to tell them is, yes, you will get in trouble. And in fact, the card companies have been enforcing deadlines, and if you don't meet those deadlines, you will in fact get fined. In March 2008, in the survey we did of the retailers, we found out that 8% of retailers had already been fined, and that was excluding retailers that had been breached. Of course, if you're breached, you're going to get a lot of fine. You're going to get at least $500,000 fine from each credit card association or company, plus your fees are going to go up in terms of the interchange rates that you pay, plus you're going to have to pay back the cost of the fraud against those cards that were compromised, and you may even have to pay for the customer service that the banks have to go through if they've been breached and have had to reissue accounts. But excluding those fines that are breach-related, 8% of the retailers that we surveyed said, yes, they had been fined just for not being PCI compliant, and 22%, that is more than one out of five, had been threatened with fines. So our recommendation is always to file a PCI compliance report with your acquirer to show them that you are on the path to compliance, even if you have not met it, because if you demonstrate that you're acting in good faith and you don't meet the deadlines, then your chances of being fined are greatly reduced as long as you have a plan of action.
Aviva, how should we prioritize our PCI compliance efforts?
Merchants often get overwhelmed when they look at all these requirements. After all, there are 250 of them or such. So where should they start? The number one place to start is on page one of the PCI DSS standard. And what that talks about is getting the sensitive authentication data out of storage. There's absolutely no business reason to store that data. That includes the CVV codes, the PINs, and other security codes that bind the cardholder account to the physical card. When that data is stolen, then the criminals can make counterfeit cards, and that's what get the banks all bent out of shape for very good reason, because once a counterfeit card is created, that customer account has to be closed. And that's a costly process. So that's the number one priority. In line with that, number two is make sure your payment applications are PABP compliant. There's a Visa standard called Payment Applications Best Practices, and if your payment applications are compliant, they won't be storing that sensitive authentication data. And in fact, there's a deadline of 2010. With some grandfather dates in there as well. So check the PABP compliance schedule on the Visa website. The PABP standard has become a PCI-wide standard called PADSS, but the deadlines for now are with Visa and PABP.
Okay, so once we set those priorities, what do we do next?
What's next is now you're left with a set of data that you absolutely have to store because your business requires it. Of course, that doesn't include the sensitive authentication data, but it does include cardholder data. So once you decide what data you're storing. You want to confine it to a segment of your network that is walled off from the rest of your network. And now it's in a segment, and that's where you begin to implement end-to-end card security controls. Things like auditing, access control, patch management, all the requirements of PCI. Now you start applying that because you have your network segmented and you've got your data confined, you've limited the scope, and you can proceed with your PCI compliance efforts.
Should we outsource?
We recommend outsourcing wherever possible. That includes outsourcing the data storage. It includes outsourcing the security audits. The scanning you have to outsource, according to the PCI Security Council, and any other security function that you don't need to do in-house. That's not your core competency. There are companies that specialize in it. They've got automated routines. You're best off if you can outsource those security processes as well as the data storage whenever possible.
What are the three main lessons learned in terms of the process of demonstrating PCI compliance?
We've had a long, hard road with PCI compliance over the last couple of years. And in fact, we have learned three main lessons when we look back. The first lesson is we thought that if we achieved PCI compliance, we were sufficiently protecting customer card data. So all we needed to do is get that PCI report on compliance checked off, submitted to our acquirer, and we could relax. Well, what did we find? We found that PCI compliance only certifies data security at one point in time, and change can be introduced immediately thereafter into your systems, meaning that at 5 o'clock, for example, you could be PCI compliant. At 5:05, something was changed, a file was added, and now you're no longer PCI compliant. So PCI compliance should not be a one point in a year exercise. It needs to be a continuous assessment. You need to go beyond what the requirements mandate. The second lesson that we learned the hard way was that we would be secure if we focused on preventing known attack methods. So this was pretty common. A new breach would happen. The assessors would figure out what happened in that breach, what caused it. They'd go back to all their clients and they would put in security measures that would keep that known attack method from succeeding again. But you know what? The criminals don't repeat themselves if they've been found out. They come up with new attack methods. So most assessments and security efforts were backwards looking. They were looking at yesterday's attack methods and not keeping up with the new innovative types of attacks that the criminals are using. So what do you have to do to respond? You have to lock down your systems because you just don't know where that next attack will come from. You can't predict it. So you've got to lock down your systems. The third lesson that we learned the hard way was that we could rely on human beings and qualified data security assessors to thoroughly examine compliance with all PCI security requirements. But you know what? You can't rely on human judgment, especially if it's just a once a year or even five times a year exercise. You need continuous automation. You've got to have systems in place that are continuously monitoring your system. For example, network scanning. You want to have a scanning system looking at your network 24/7 because change can be introduced and you want to find out about that change the second it's introduced. And if there is a vulnerability, you've got to be able to plug it up immediately. Automate as much as possible, whether it's the scanning of your network or managing your application security. As you know, that is now mandatory of PCI 1.2. And it's very difficult for human beings and people in your companies to stay on top of every new application vulnerability. So you want to leave it to an automated system that has knowledge of these vulnerabilities, that can spot them immediately, and again, it runs 24/7. So you can rest assured that the systems are watching themselves rather than having to call in a human being and rely on human judgment and looking at things manually to find those vulnerabilities. It just won't work if you rely on a periodic manual assessment.
Aviva, thank you very much. Aviva Leighton is Vice President for Information Security and Risk Management Research at Gartner. Aviva, thanks again. And now this program note. Gartner is an impartial, independent analyst of the information technology industry. The information presented here should not be construed as a Gartner endorsement of any enterprise's products or services.